everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Locals to Legends Wrestling Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Gene Jackson. And as always, we are brought to you by WrestlingNewsCenter.com. Check out WrestlingNewsCenter.com daily for news stories, results, columns, upcoming events, and much, much more. Everything you need to stay informed about the world of professional wrestling every day at WrestlingNewsCenter.com. Now, I want to get right into my interview tonight. I'm very excited. I've got a guest on the line right now who is a three-time NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, and I'm talking about the crown jewel himself. Mr. Chase Owens is on the line. Chase, how you doing this evening, my friend?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm getting excited because we got some big shows coming up, and I'm planning on making the long trip to Kingsport, Tennessee on May the 9th to cover a collision course for WrestlingNewsCenter.com. And from where I'm at in Alabama, that's about a six-hour drive. But looking forward to that, and we are going to get into that here shortly, and we're going to talk about that big show coming up as well as the Smoky Mountain Cup that's coming up next weekend. But speaking of the long drive from Alabama over to Kingsport, the first time that I ever saw Chase Owens wrestle live, me and my wife made a long drive to Kingsport from Alabama to see Chikara. And we seen Chase Owens in the ring with Archibald Peck. Now, tell us a little bit about that experience. How was that for you getting to wrestle with Chikara that evening?
You know, Chikara is one of those bigger indie promotions that get a lot of recognition, you know, and that's what you need as somebody is trying to make it, is to get yourself out as many times as possible. You know, we actually did the show at Chikara because I did the Young Lions Cup earlier that year, and then Quackenbush and Through Runs, NWA Smoky Mountain, just, you know, they agreed to work together, and they used our building that we use for NWA Smoky Mountain, and Tony helped promote it, and, you know, so they came in and let me on that card as well.
Well, it was a heck of a show, and like I said, I had seen videos of you on YouTube and seen some of your matches. That was the first time I got a chance to see you live, and feel like that over here a year or two later. Promotion I work for over here in Alabama, Pro South Wrestling, Chikara came in, kind of the same deal. You know, ran their building and used a couple of the Pro South guys on the show, and I was really impressed at the way Quackenbush runs his show and the way he handles his guys and the pre-show speech. And it's quite the sight to behold in comparison to a lot of other independent shows that I'm sure you've been exposed to.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mike was, you know, the same way. You know, he's real organized, and there wasn't, you know, one guy that's, you know, not helping do something, whether it's putting up the ring, putting up chairs, getting merchandise tables ready, you know, whatever needed to be done for the show, everybody was helping. It was a team effort.
Now you'll come to realize I jump around. I don't follow the Rob Feinstein timeline of what are your memories of this, what are your memories of that from the dawn of time. But I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, were you a fan of wrestling at a young age? Is it something you've always been into?
Yeah, you know, I can remember, or I've watched wrestling for as long as I can remember. You know, both my mom and dad were wrestling fans, you know, before they had me, and they were watching it, you know, when I was little, and, you know, up into my teenage years where they kind of quit watching, but by the end I was hooked, and I was, you know, watching it, and, you know, lucky enough to pretty much just fall into this business.
Now, who would you say is one of your biggest influences as a fan, you know, that seeing that wrestler is what it made you decide that you wanted to cross over from being just a wrestling fan to actually getting into the wrestling business?
Well, you know, from a very young age, I've always knew this is what I wanted to do. And, you know, growing up, it was guys like Hogan and Macho that I really, you know, really made me want to be a wrestler, but then as I got older and, started training, it was guys like AJ Styles and Davey Richards, and those type of guys that were, Daniel Bryan at the time, or Bryan Danielson, I should say. And, it was those type of guys, Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Malenko, those were the guys that really made me, want to find somewhere to train.
Right, and then being influenced by guys like that, you've actually had the opportunity to step in the ring with Davey Richards. What was that like for you?
It was nerve-wracking. I believe, in my honest an opinion, that he is truthfully one of the best wrestlers in the world today. And, just watching him and, kind of looking up to him, so to speak, and then to be in the ring knowing what he's done, I think, and truthfully, that's the match that I feel really set my career off.
Right. Everybody, well, I'm going to say everybody, because some people never have that match, but guys who are successful, they do have that one match that you can look back to as a turning point to where it started coming together and you started making a name for yourself. And I would say, what I've been able to follow your career from over here, I would say that is definitely a fair statement that the Davey Richards match was a definite turning point for you.
Everybody always says that they have that moment where just the light bulb turns on and, it clicks. And, I definitely believe during that match that, it clicked for me and, the light bulb went off.
I agree. And I think it's that moment for the fans watching that match where the light bulb goes off and goes, hey, Chase Owens is for real. And he's in here with a world-class athlete like Davey Richards, and he deserves to be there. He's showing us that he can hang. And, there's a lot of guys that aspire to be in the ring with people like that. But then when they get in there, they realize they're not there yet. But I think you stepped in the ring with him at a perfect time where you were ready to step up to that challenge and be on that level.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you said, the fans – I believe that night the fans turned to the style of wrestling at Smoky Mountain because before they were real big into the old school wrestling and just wanted to see people get beat up, but after that match we had a standing ovation and then, the next show, it was me versus Jason Kincaid, if I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was – they wanted the wrestling, not so much, the good guy beating the bad guy up .
Right. Now, you mentioned Jason Kincaid. Now, there are guys in wrestling who always kind of find each other, and their feud and their time in the ring together kind of starts to, the Davey Richards match was a turning point, but – a lot of guys, you can't mention Chase Owens without thinking of Jason Kincaid and vice versa. I mean, because you guys' battles in Smoky Mountain have been epic, and you've kind of made a name off each other, which, is good for both of you. Tell us a little bit about, your matches with Jason and just how that's all come to pass.
Jason Kincaid's one of those guys that, when you look at him, a bunch of people, you would think, that he's not good or I don't know what people think really, but I've heard some people in the business, don't think he's good because of his look. But, truthfully, he's one of the best unsigned talents that I've ever stepped in the ring with. He knows it all. He studies from British wrestling to, the Japanese wrestling to American wrestling to lucha wrestling. I mean, he studies it all and can do pretty much anything. He's just he's a different breed than most anybody.
Well, absolutely, and much like yourself, he's going out there and he's getting his name out there. He's going other places. He's not just not just the Kingsport guy. He's getting, well, I mean, he won the Super 8 a few weeks ago, which is a big honor in indie wrestling these days. And I was happy to hear that, although I am a fan and friend of Corey Hollis, and I was glad to see that he made it to the finals with Jason. But that was one of those where there wasn't going to be a bad result. I was going to be happy either way. Either one of those guys winning, they both really deserve it and put on a heck of a match.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, Jason, truthfully, I don't think Jason gets the recognition that he deserves. But, you know, I hope that him winning the Super 8 tournament, you know, really skyrockets him and allows him to go on to bigger things.
I hope so. And he's going to have an opportunity coming up in May. But I don't want to jump ahead of the Smoky Mountain Cup. Let's talk about that real quick, because we got on the 17th coming up, the Smoky Mountain Cup is going to be taking place at the Civic Auditorium in Kingsport. Now, unless I'm reading this wrong, free admission, that's something. I mean, people are going to see a great night of wrestling, and they're going to see it for free, and that's not something you can, most of the time, you get what you pay for. You come across a free wrestling show, and yeah, you still feel cheated, but my gosh, if you look down the line at the card of this, this is going to be an amazing show going on for free right there in Kingsport. Now, tell us a little bit what you got going on that night. You're going to be in the tournament, correct, and facing Wayne Adkins in the first round, I believe.
Yeah, the Smoky Mountain Cup. The last several years, we've had you have the six first round matches, and the winner of each singles match we'll go to the finals, which is a big six-way scramble match, you know, and I did not wrestle in it 2 years ago. That's when Ricky Morton was able to win, but last year it came down to the finals, you know, with me and Jace Kincaid, where he ended up winning. And, and this year I hope to regain that spot as I did 3 years ago and be the first person to ever win the tournament twice.
Well, that'll definitely be a big feather in your cap, and definitely something to shoot for. Now, backing up, when you got in the wrestling business, everybody has some immediate goals, and of course, everybody eventually wants to get to WWE and that sort of thing, and that's a given. But what goals did you set for yourself when you first got in the wrestling business?
Truthfully, I mean, like you said, everybody wants to be at WWE, you know, or somewhere that they're getting the recognition or worldwide recognition and money. But, truthfully, when I started, when I very first started, I didn't think I was going to do anything besides wrestle here in Bristol.
And then you have gone on to be a world junior heavyweight champion, which is certainly a huge accomplishment in the business, and that has taken you far away from Bristol. Now, tell us about some of your travels as the world junior heavyweight champion.
As the world junior champion, I went down to Texas. Actually, I wasn't the champion when I went to Texas. I was contending against Jace Kincaid, who had beat me several months before. But I've gone from Texas to Ohio, to Georgia, to North Carolina, all the way to Japan. I've defended it in Canada several times, just all over, from this young kid who never thought he would be out of Bristol.
I mean, that's an amazing story. I mean, because there's a lot of guys who get in the business and they think they're really good and they have some good matches locally, but they don't ever get out of that hometown. They don't ever go out and test themselves. And, the Japan thing is huge. Now, in my day, I'm 37 years old. So for my generation, in my mind anyway, maybe everybody don't agree with this, I don't know, but when wrestling changed, the match that kind of defined where wrestling was going, that brought on the cruiserweights and the X division and all that sort of thing, was Flying Brian versus Jushin Liger at Super Brawl 2. that is the first time I, anyway, not having access at that time to tape trading and some of the things that I would get later on, saw, you know, a high-flying style and some of the crazy stuff that, you know, and if there's a young person listening to this now, if they go watch that video on the network or they go watch it on YouTube or whatever, if you watch that match now, it seems pretty tame. I mean, the stuff that Liger and Pillman did, you can see in the opening match of your average indie show these days. But at that time, it was stuff you'd never seen before in America, and it was amazing. But you know, now, like I say, it's been the
and
games
that
stepped
like
up.
The Young Bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
So, who you know, I've spent some time with over in Japan, and you know, and they're really cool dudes, and they're wrestling for the style of wrestling that they do. You know, that fast-paced junior heavyweight style. You know, they're the best tag team going today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're the hottest thing in tag team wrestling right now, no doubt. But for my money, to see you in the ring with Jushin Liger, a guy who, like I said, in my mind, you know, you talked about how, you know, you and Jason kind of turned the page there in Smoky Mountain and took it from that old school, you know, slow, methodical, brawling style to the style of wrestling that is more popular these days, the high-flying and the high-impact stuff. For you to go over there and compete with a guy who I feel like kind of brought that to the forefront in America, I mean, that's cool, dude. I mean, if you didn't do anything else in wrestling, which I know you're going to do a hell of a lot more, but I'm just saying, just accomplishing that is really an amazing feat and really super cool and something that nobody can take away from you, no matter what happens from here on out. You did that shit, you know?
Oh, most definitely. You know, a lot of people are, you know, they want to get overseas, and I know a few guys going to Europe and stuff like that, but, you know, to go to the second biggest wrestling company in the world and, you know, in the first night in, you know, pick up a win and challenge Jushin Liger and to go face-to-face with him, you know, the first night in was just an incredible feeling, you know, and when the match happened, just to hear his music and the crowd, the way the crowd responded, you know, it's like, holy shit. you got goosebumps.
Man, I can only imagine, man. I mean, you go from, like, say, that kid in Bristol to being in the ring with a legend, you know, and competing for the world junior heavyweight title. You're not just in there. You're competing for the world title. That's
I used to always get, you know, little butterflies in my stomach before any match, but, you know, the last time before the Liger match was probably Davey Richards, which was 2011. You know, so, and because when that match happened, you know, like I said, that was when it really, like, clicked for me, and, the, you know, and I became very confident in my wrestling and, you know, didn't get nervous at all any other times after that, you know, even in the rematch with Davey. But then, you know, just like I said, to hear the reaction of the fans when Liger's music hit, like,
right.
Unbelievable.
That's awesome, man. Now, you were at you wrestled at the Fan Fest in Charlotte last summer, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I was there. I was thinking, I knew you was there. There were so many matches and so much stuff going on that weekend, I couldn't place. Did you wrestle Rhett Titus?
I did wrestle Rhett Titus. And
that's what I thought.
And then the next day or afternoon show, I wrestled with the Greek god Papadon.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't remember if it was last year or year before. I've been to a bunch of them, so they all kind of run together. But, yeah, I remembered seeing you there. And I had to figure that was a pretty cool experience. You know, I know being there and just, you know, getting to meet all these legends I grew up watching and just being there to see them, but actually being there and wrestling in front of them and hanging out with them, I'm sure that had to be a pretty cool experience as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was actually doing the camp that they had going on with Tom Pritchard and Lance Storm, Les Thatcher, and Nigel McGuinness. You know, and that's actually how I got on the show because, you know, they did that big battle royal for the big battle royal for everybody that was in the camp that wanted to do it. But me and Rhett were actually selected from the camp to do, you know, both days and of the matches.
Yeah, I'm sure that had to be invaluable to your career, because, I mean, you talk about any one of those guys that was running that camp training you, but the combination of all of them, I'm sure there was a lot of knowledge to soak in the few days that you was there.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was like trying to cram in the night before a test, you know. you took in so much that, you know, some of it I use today, you know, in my wrestling and teach at the school that at Ricky Morton School, where I'm the head trainer. But then there's some things that you know just forget because there was so much that you were taught.
Right, absolutely. And now you bring up another good point. Ricky Morton has a school, the School of Morton, and you are the head trainer there. Going back to something you mentioned a few minutes ago, you had the opportunity to wrestle Ricky Morton one-on-one for the World Junior Heavyweight title and drop the belt to Morton, which, to my knowledge, I would assume was probably like the biggest singles title that Ricky ever held. I mean, obviously, Ricky held World Tag Team titles numerous times and various singles titles and, you know, like Memphis and different places, but on a grand scale, at his age, that was a big deal for him to become the World Junior Heavyweight Champion. And I got to figure it had to be a good feeling for you to go in there and do that for him at that stage in his career.
Oh, it definitely was, you know, to share that moment with the guy that's helped me so much, you know, in this business. Because, like I said, where I didn't think I was ever going to get out of Bristol, I'm lucky enough that Ricky lives in Bristol, just on the Tennessee side, where I'm on the Virginia side. So we're about a 15-minute drive from each other. And he was at the show that I wrestled at, and, you know, I was lucky enough for him to pull me aside and for him to ask me to go on the road with him, you know, which is a big deal if anybody wants to take younger guys on the road. But, you know, I remember my first trip with Ricky. We went up to Mill Creek, West Virginia, and I was scheduled for a three-way match in the opening, but it was the show was for Greg Valentine because he was just inducted into the Hall of Fame, and the main event was supposed to be him and Manny Fernandez. So here I am. I don't remember if I was late 17 or just turned 18 or hadn't been 18 long, but the promoter gets a call, and it's Manny, and he, you know, something happened where he couldn't show up. So Ricky told the guy to, you know, put me in there with Greg Valentine. So here I am, 17, 18 years old, you know, wrestling in the main event in front of, you know, a couple thousand people, you know, against somebody like Greg Valentine.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. And some of these guys, man, when you think about where all they've been and all the things they've done, you know, it's kind of awe-inspiring to think, you know, that you're getting an opportunity to be in a ring with them, you know, the thousands of matches they've had and all the money they've drawn. And it's, you know, everybody says it's not cool, you know, it's uncool to mark out. But, I mean, the fan inside of you has got to enjoy those kind of moments and see them for what they are, you know.
I think that's a bunch of crap anyways for people to, you know, not mark out for people. Because, truthfully, aren't we all? Aren't we all marks? And that's why we're in the business.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, there's also a respectful way to go about it than to just be, you know, some idiot bothering them or
yeah there's definitely a way to do it in a respectful way. I we've all seen instances where there's, you know, some clown that you know makes a fool of himself, and in that moment you're like, yeah, what a mark. And I guess in that instance it is a bad thing, but yeah, Greg Valentine getting to travel with Ricky Morton. I mean, I can only imagine what all you've learned just in the car with Ricky Morton, just hearing the stories and different things that a lot of guys, you know, your age and that's come through, and they say that's a lot of what's wrong with the business now, and I guess that's true. There's only so many Ricky Mortons out there that's traveling the roads and that these guys can ride with, and when you got a bunch of young guys in the car all riding together, you know, who's going to teach him. So having that opportunity, yeah, has definitely, I'm sure, given you a leg up on the competition, having a guy like Ricky Morton in the car with you, teaching you along the way. But so running, helping him run the school, you know, knowing your mindset when you came into business and comparing it to guys that are coming in today, like, I don't know, like, what are you seeing different between the guys that are trying to enter wrestling now than compared to, you know, like you and some of the guys that broke in with you? Is it a different mindset? Is it a different thing that's bringing them in? Or is it still kind of the same as it's always been?
I'm not real sure. You know, the last, over the past several years, you know, I still think it's the same mindset that I have. You know, at the school, we, with Ricky, you know, Ricky's being the old school wrestler. You know, he still, we get in, he pretty much does the basics and, you know, and we get into it. And, you know, but then when it comes, you know, wrestling's evolved. And
yeah.
Where I'm, you know, doing the things like Japan and Ring of Honor and, you know, where I've done those things, like, that's what we teach at the school. Like, the things I teach at the school are, it's not just the way I do things or the way Ricky does things. You know, it's things that I've learned throughout my career from people, you know, like last year when I went to the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I teach things that Les or Lance Storm or Nigel McGuinness or, you know, Tom were, you know, telling us. Like, if they
right.
corrected something, it wasn't, you know, that's a lot of, the problem with a lot of people is they can't take corrective criticism. These guys that are, you know, good workers that they think they're the best, and, you know, and they get told something, and then they're all, those are old guys, what do they know? Type
yeah.
of type of attitude, you know, where, you know, it's less, you know, less is from way, you know, before Ricky and them, but less still, less is one of the guys that knows wrestling has evolved, and he likes it, but he's opposed to, you know, the Young Buck style.
Yeah.
You know, there's a time and place for it, and, you know, and Japan's one of those places, and they do a damn good job at it. You know, like I said, the hottest tag team going right now. You know, but so at the school is, you know, we, Ricky teaches them things, and then, you know, and then I kind of put it into the style that's going on now. You know, everything's still back to, you know, how to make money, and that's what Ricky knows. You know, Ricky drew tons of money back in the day.
Right. Well, I got to think that there's probably never been a more exciting time to be an indie wrestler and to be breaking in and guys that's been in a couple of years, because, I mean, you got the NXT phenomenon happening, then you got, you know, Lucha Underground and Ring of Honor's thriving, and you know, and then you got all these guys who came through Ring of Honor and the indies on top in WWE with the, you know, Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan and, you know, Dean Ambrose and you know, with Steen and Generico and all these guys coming up through NXT and looking like they're gonna, you know, steamroll their way right into WWE. And, you know, because it used to be when you got in, you know, you didn't feel like, a lot of guys anyway that I knew didn't feel like they ever really had any hope of getting to WCW and WWE, because, you know, you had to be big, and then if you're a small guy, you might get to be a cruiserweight, but there was a certain glass ceiling you would never break through. But now it seems like if you're talented and if you have some personality and bring something to the table, that, you know, there's a chance you can make it, regardless of your size and what, you know, what it used to have been considered limitations, as far as that goes.
Yeah, those guys, you know, like Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins, you know, being the smaller guys, but being the guys that can really go, you know, that just proves that you don't have to be 7 foot tall or, you know, 400 pounds. You know, another instance is, you know, Kevin Steen,
mm-hmm.
or Kevin Owens now, you know, he's not in the best shape, but obviously there's something that he's got that, you know, draws people to him, and, you know, and he's very good, and, you know, and that, again, talent got him there.
Absolutely, and I think he's, if you look at him now compared to 2 years ago or 3 years ago in Ring of Honor, I think he's come a long way as far as his, you know, working towards getting in shape and taking that a lot more seriously.
He's way better
than he
shape than, you know, what he was.
And you've taken over as Package Pile Driver, and he took your last name, so I guess we'll call that a draw on on that. So hey, so you implemented the Package Pile Driver into your repertoire a while back. How have you had any static from it? Has there been anybody that was like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to take that? Is there anybody that was iffy on taking the Package Pile Driver since you started using that?
None of the wrestlers really. I did have a referee set up, or, you know, throw a little bit of a fit because he was trying to make up all his excuses. You know, referee from Ohio. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just told him, you know, it was after the Liger match. You know, and I was like, dude, Jushin Thunder Liger trusted me to do this to him.
Exactly.
You know, why couldn't you? And he just kept trying to do all these, you know, excuses, and he ended up taking it, and then afterwards, you know, all apologizing that he, you know, was not confident in doing it or whatever, but.
Yeah, I was just curious about that, because I know a lot of people are sketchy about it, but, you know, it's like any other move. If the guy doing it knows what he's doing and is safe, then, you know, it's as safe as anything else you do in the ring, but. I think it's a shame that, you know, that got helped get Steen over as much as it did in Ring of Honor, and I doubt he'll ever be able to use it in WWE unless, you know, maybe they break it out for some big match once or twice, but, you know, it'll never be a regular thing.
Yeah, I'm real big on the concussion, you know, watching out for concussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're real big on that stuff.
So now, we talked about the Smoky Mountain Cup. That's coming up on the 17th at the Civic Auditorium in Kingsport, and it's free admission, so there's no reason why anyone that's within driving distance of Kingsport shouldn't be at that show. But now, got another huge event coming up, May the 9th. It's Smoky Mountain Collision Course. And already on the card for that one, we've got an NWA Southeastern Heavyweight title match. The champion, Jason Kincaid, is going to be taking on former WWE superstar John Morrison, or some people may know him now in Lucha Underground as Johnny Mundo. And that's going to be an incredible match. And it's going to be another opportunity for Jason to show everybody, you know, what he's all about, and that he can hang with guys of that stature. And then main event number two is the one I'm sure you're most interested in, and it's being billed as an international dream match, and I know it's not only a dream match for you, but a dream match for the fans, and it's the main match that's causing me to drive 6 hours to Kingsport to cover it for the website, and we're talking about the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, the phenomenal AJ Styles, taking on the crown jewel himself, Chase Owens, along with Rob Knight in his corner. And man, I'm sure that's got to rank right up there with the Liger match for you.
Oh, most definitely. You know, with the Liger match, it was the fact that I was facing a legend in his home country. You know, Liger over there is, you know, the Hulk Hogan or the John Cena of today's era. You know, over there in Japan, so you know that match was huge. But like I said earlier, when I got into wrestling, when I was first starting out, it was AJ Styles is who I wanted to be, you know, and for a little while, that's, you know, I had my ring vest like his, and you know, that again, that's who I wanted to be when I was at 16 years old, you know. So for now, for me to evolve into mine, and, you know, and it's to face who I truthfully think is the best wrestler in the world. You know, it's going to be a real test to myself, you know, and I'm really excited for it.
You know, in doing these interviews, something I don't think AJ Styles gets a lot of credit for, but in a lot of the guys I've interviewed, a lot of guys, you know, in your age range, I don't think people realize how influential AJ Styles was on a whole generation of wrestlers now that have come up watching him, because there's so many guys that if you look back on pictures from the early stages of your career, like you said, they got the bikers on, they got the vest. You can see that influence in their work and their gear, and he influenced a lot of people. And I don't think he always gets the credit for that he probably deserves. That so many guys probably got in the business because they were a fan of AJ Styles and wanted to get in the ring because of watching him wrestle and during all his years in TNA. I think he is probably the most, I guess you can't say the biggest star, because there's guys like Kurt Angle, different people who are bigger stars. But as far as guys who came up in TNA, who made their name in TNA, I would say that AJ Styles is probably the biggest one of all who made his name there.
I definitely agree with that. You know, and now he's on top at the second biggest company in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's doing some, man. I mean, you know, talk about the Young Bucks, and they're doing great things over there, but AJ Styles is as well. Well, of course, you know, the whole Bullet Club thing is just, you know, it in Japan, it's what the NWO was in America in its time, and it's just caught fire over in Japan, and along with Gallows and Carl Anderson and all those guys are really just riding the wave right now of popularity.
It's not even in Japan. Like, it's in the States, too. I can't go to a wrestling show without seeing several Bullet Club shirts or you know, or some type of the Gallows Club, or, you know,
yeah.
Everybody in the Bullet Club has their own little shirts, and you see several everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Not only that, but then there's all these wrestlers trying to get the rub and, you know, make their shirts almost identical to Bullet Club shirts, you know.
Oh, hell yeah. There's every kind of club you can name now out there.
You see that everywhere.
Absolutely. I thought it was quite a testament. Yeah, quite a testament to him when you've seen Cesaro walking out on a WWE pay-per-view with his brass ring club. I'm like, wow, when you got WWE guys ripping you off with knockoff shirts, you've definitely tapped a hell of a market there on what's cool in wrestling these days. And God bless Pro Wrestling Tees for being around, for these guys to be able to get these shirts out to everybody and people to easily access them, because, my God, there's almost every wrestler you can name on independence is on there now. But
yeah,
before
– so big over there in Japan, like, just looking out in the crowd, you know, like you said, it was with the NWO, like, every third person has a Bullet Club shirt or hoodie or hat, or, you know, walking down the streets in the towns, you know, there's people wearing it everywhere.
And then even here in Alabama, you go to indie shows and there's people in the crowd wearing Bullet Club shirts, and you think, well, how the hell do they even know about that? Because, you know, they've had to sort it out, because there's not, you know, not really much means around here other than the internet to know what's going on in Japan.
They got that station on Axis channel now, you know, which I'm sure
not everybody
has, but I don't have it, but
I've got it. It's pretty good show. I mean, right now, the first few weeks, it's the same couple of guys that they just keep showing, you know, old matches of theirs. But, you know, once they branch out and start showing a bigger variety, I'll enjoy it more anyway, when it's more of a variety rather than just the same couple of guys. But still, it's a lot more access than you ever had before.
You know, New Japan has the best wrestlers, you know, from top to bottom, you know, I believe over there. I mean, you got Okada and Tanahashi and Nakamura, and then, you know, the Bucks and AJ and Kenny Omega and Alex Shelley, Kushida. I mean, you can just name everybody over there. You know, everybody can go. And to be part of those shows was something special for me.
Well, they're definitely starting to influence WWE, because you can see that they're starting to let, you know, Brian and some of these guys go more that direction. So I think the more exposure Japan, New Japan has in America, the more they'll start to influence WWE, and you'll see them start going more and more to that style, especially when you got all these guys coming up in NXT that can work that style. You know, it'll make the John Cena's and them step up their game for sure.
Hey, he pulled out a springboard stunner.
Yeah, that was something to behold, a springboard stunner. But before I get too far off of the subject of Collision Course, we want to mention, too, those are the two main events that have been announced so far. But still to come, there are going to be matches featuring former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Iron Man Rob Conway, the NWA National Champion Godzilla Jax Dane. Speaking of IWGP, we got one half of the brand-new IWGP Tag Team Champion Matt Taven, who, of course, won those titles this past weekend, I believe, or very recently. I think it was this weekend. Maybe it was the weekend before.
I think it was this weekend. I think it was on Saturday, maybe.
I think you're right, yeah. So Taven and, I just went blank on his name. What's his partner?
Mike Bennett,
yes. Took the tag team titles over there, and I think that was quite a shocker for the fans over in Japan. But they won them, and Matt Taven's going to be right there in Kingsport on May the 9th. We'll also have the Smoky Mountain TV champion, Picture Perfect Jordan Cage, the Prodigy Vince Brent, and a lot more. So there's going to be more matches getting announced as we get closer to the event. But tickets are already available, so you can get tickets now at nwasmokymountain.com. There's VIP packages to meet, have a meet and greet with John Morrison, and a Q&A with all the Smoky Mountain stars. There's Golden Circle front row tickets, which I'm sure there's not very many of those left, actually, so you might want to get on there tonight.
I don't think there is, and you said you know, the tickets were available, and not only are they available, but from talking to Tony, you know, here we are a month away from that show, and it's closing in on already being the biggest crowd just from pre-sale tickets that he's ever had.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, that's good. I mean, like I say,
we always do good houses there. You know, there's always 250, 300 people for the most part, you know, a consistent basis. You know, the building holds 999, and that's what we are trying to get to, you know, and I think we'll have a very good chance with this show coming up because, you know, besides guys like AJ and John Morrison and Matt Taven coming in, you know, we got Rob Hamer, regular on the roster, Jax Dane. You got guys like Sigmund and Elliot Russell, Jordan Cage, you know, Skylar Cruz, all those younger guys that are coming up, and, you know, and they really add something to the show. And, you know, for me, Smoky Mountain is one of the best rosters, if not the very best, that, you know, that I'm a part of.
And I believe the NWA president is actually going to be there on hand to witness this event alive. So that's not something that happens all the time either.
I believe he's supposed to show up. Yes, I do.
Well, it's going to be an amazing show, and it has to be to get me to drive 6 hours to see anything. it has to be something impressive. But the minute I heard about this show, me and my wife decided we needed to come cover this for Wrestling News Center. And, of course, once I told the guys at Wrestling News Center, they were excited that we were going and was going to be able to get, you know, pictures of this huge show and get some interviews with some of the guys and whatnot. And I've been talking to Tony, and I know he's excited about it. And it's going to be, like I say, the biggest thing to hit Kingsport. Man, if you can pack that auditorium out with 900 people, that will be absolutely amazing for everyone involved. So
$9.99,
right at 1,000. So who knows? We might even shoehorn one more in there, get it in, so we can say it was 1,000. But it's gonna be a big event. Now I had posted on Facebook that anybody that wanted to ask some questions could, and I've weaved some of those in throughout the interview without naming anyone. But Jason Castle had some specific questions, and like I say, I've already weeded in a couple of them. But one of them that he asked was, who is the best guy you've ever been in the ring with?
Best guy I've ever been in the ring with would probably have to be Davey. You know, like I said, that match was was probably my favorite match to date, you know, and that's definitely the biggest test so far. But, you know, that's going to be tested May 9th. But, you know, unsigned talent, you know, I've already said guys like Jace Kincaid and, you know, a Sigmund or a Sean Schultz or, you know, you mentioned Corey Haas earlier, you know, me and him at the beginning of March, you know, had a damn good match down at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Yep.
That I was real happy with.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that show as well. As more of the card come out, I was like, man, I'd love to make that trip as well because that sounded like a hell of a show. The other thing that Jason wanted is he said to make sure that you plug your new T-shirt and especially the pink one.
He definitely bought a pink one. Actually, his wife bought him a pink one because they made some, I guess there was some inside joke kind of thing.
Yeah.
With him and a couple of his friends. So their wives bought the pink shirts for him.
Well, there you go. Now, if anybody listening to this right now wants to get themselves a pink Chase Owen shirt or otherwise, any color that's available.
Yeah, we got gray, white, black. Neon pink, green.
Now, how would they go about getting that?
You can message me on Facebook or you can email me and take a look at ChaseOwensWrestling.com. I have a little merchandise section in there and, you know, along with my schedule and news and, you know, everything. We try to keep it up to date.
Yeah, fans should check that out because, yeah, you got the store there, you got your upcoming schedule, and you got some videos there of some of your matches. So, and I'm sure a few of the ones that we've talked about here in this interview are there available to watch. So anybody wants to know more about Chase, get on there. Yeah. Davey Richards just seems like a machine, man. I mean, the dude just, I don't know, he doesn't quit. I mean, I can only imagine how intimidating that is.
About it. Me and Tony make jokes about it because we think he's like a cyborg or something. if you keep up with him, like, not only does he keep a full-time wrestling schedule, but he's an EMT.
I know, man. That's crazy. He's got a wrestling schedule that would kill most people, and how he's able to have a career as an EMT alongside that, I don't know when the guy would ever sleep. I honestly don't.
He don't. I mean, when we were talking to him before, you know, like, they were doing jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, and weightlifting all in one day.
Wow.
Guys like him and Kyle O'Reilly and Tony Kazina, you know, the guys that were up there living in that area with Davey, you know, and then he's an EMT and has this crazy wrestling schedule. And
wow. And so another question that I got sent in, who out there right now would be, besides obviously AJ Styles, which is already booked, so that one's happening, so you wouldn't have to name him. Who out there right now would be a dream match for Chase Owens that you would like to get a chance to get in the ring and compete with?
You know, I've been in the ring with a lot of the guys that I've been, you know, the dream match. But for some dream matches that I'd like to happen, you know, I'd like to see, you know, maybe me and Jason and Cade teaming up one night and, you know, taking on the Young Bucks.
There you go. That would be amazing. That would be definitely a dream match for a lot of people. Now, if somebody's listening to this and they're wanting to get in the business and they're up in the Bristol area on either side of the line, how do they go about contacting the School of Morton to become involved in that?
I believe you can contact me. I think we have a link, or we're working on it, one of the two. But we have a link to the school, or you can go to, I believe it is RickyMortonOnline.com. And, yes, actually, I'm looking at it right now. So, yeah, RickyMortonOnline.com. Or you can find them on Facebook at School of Morton. You know, and it's got all the information in there, you know. And truthfully, it's probably going to be one of the cheaper schools, you know, around, you know, and to learn from one of the best in the business in Ricky.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ricky Morton,
when we started out, you know, we had like three students. And that was last May, and actually coming up, I think it was May 12th, because I think we were talking about it the other day, where we're having a show in the school, excuse me, on Sunday, May 17th, and it's going to be the Paul Morton Cup Royal Rumble Tournament, which was Ricky's dad, you know, and that's to celebrate our 1 year of being at the school, you know, but now we got, I think, around 20 students.
Awesome.
And, it, you know, it just keeps growing and growing, and we just, Lisa, who is James's wife, who owned the building and are, you know, pretty much own everything in there, you know, they just knocked down a big wall and made the, you know, the building more for us, and they did it all in like 2 weeks, and they really did a great job down there, and it's a completely different building. You know, when I left a couple weeks ago to go to Canada, you know, nothing was done, and then I come back 2 weeks later, and here's, you know, actual lockers in the, you know, where we dress instead of just, you know, finding a chair like most shows, mm-hmm. or, you know, and then there's an office for Ricky, and, you know, they just really did put so much effort into it, you know, and did a hell of a job for 2 weeks.
Well, that's cool, man. I'm glad to hear it's going well, and you got to give it up for Ricky that he's, you know, he's still giving back to the business and teaching a whole other generation of guys the things that he learned and things that he experienced in wrestling, and then of course you in the ring with him, teaching them. You know, Ricky's got the old school covered, and you've got the new age style covered. Not to mention your amateur background, which you're also doing a little bit of training in the amateur style as well, I believe, right?
Yeah, we just decided to maybe give that a shot. You know, we haven't had anybody sign up yet. I think we just announced it like a week ago, and but you know, hopefully, because you know, younger kids, you know, like. We got a kid in there that's now that signed up that's, you know, like 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously it's going to be a few years before he should even be able to get in the ring for actual competition, you know, and for to do some of, you know, amateur training. You know, that's, it's good to know.
You know, absolutely.
You never know. You might lose it.
Absolutely. Well, man. It's been a pleasure talking with you tonight. I'm excited about the show on May the 9th, and like I said, we'll be coming up there to cover it for Wrestling News Center, so I look forward to meeting you in person and getting absolutely, man. Like I said, we're going to talk to Tony. We're going to slip in there before the show and then get some pictures of the guys for the website, and my wife takes awesome pictures, so she's going to take pictures of some of the matches for the site, and I look forward to you and AJ Styles freaking tearing the house down up there in front of at least 999 people there at the Kingsport Auditorium.
Let's hope. If Fire Marshal don't show up, we'll put in more.
There you go. All right, man, and we appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you again soon one of these days.
Thank you.
All right, what a pleasure it was to have Chase Owens on the show tonight, a really good guy who's going places in wrestling, and we wish him the best of luck and appreciate him coming on. But before we go, let's talk about a few of our sponsors and friends. Of course, Bomberwear, high-quality pro wrestling gear made by the Bomber Jack Lord. Tights, trunks, singlets, masks, you name it, and Jack Lord can make it happen. You can find him on Facebook and see some examples of his work at facebook.com/bomberwear, or you can contact him directly through email, bomberjacklord@gmail.com. And remember, even if you can't work like a pro, you can at least look like one with help from Bomberwear. Pro South Wrestling, every Friday night at 627 Southern Avenue in Piedmont, Alabama. Doors open at 6 p.m., bell time at 7 p.m. Tickets are only $8, no reserves, first come, first serve on tickets and the seats. Kids 4 and under are free. However, on May the 8th, the Young Bucks, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, that me and Chase Owens were just talking about during that interview, being the hottest tag team in wrestling. Well,
The hottest tag team in wrestling worldwide is coming to Piedmont, Alabama to Pro South Wrestling on May the 8th. And in that case, there are going to be reserved tickets. There will be $10 tickets for ringside and, of course, $8 general admission. And those tickets will go on sale this Friday, April the 11th, and they're going to go quick. So I would suggest you get your tickets this Friday night at the Pro South Arena. You're already coming out anyway for the weekly show. So come on out there and get the chance to see the Young Bucks when they come to Pro South Wrestling on May the 8th. It's going to be a great show. IWF Slam TV returns to Good Time Charlie's this Saturday night in Tupelo for another round of television tapings. There promises to be some new faces as well as a huge announcement. So make sure to go to IWFSlam.com right now to get your tickets in advance and as well as watch past episodes of IWF Slam TV right there on the website at IWFSlam.com. All-Pro Championship Wrestling will be returning to Oklahoma, Mississippi on Saturday, May the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Going to be another wild night of action over there. You'll see Bad Attitude, Tony Dabbs, Southern Thunder, Chris Kilgore, Josh Matthews. And the main event is going to be a steel cage match for the APW Heavyweight Championship when the champion, Eric Wayne, defends against Bull Bronson. And that's going to be one you don't want to miss. That is going to be a brutal match inside of a steel cage right there in Oklahoma. Saturday, May the 16th, OWO Legends Night comes to Nettleton, Mississippi at the high school. Another big show. OWO had a great turnout the last time in Nettleton. I'm sure we'll have an even better one this time as superstar Bill Dundee, Dangerous Doug Gilbert, and WWE Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler take part in Legends Night there in Nettleton at the high school. You'll also see the OWO champion Barry Wolf. You'll see everybody's favorite, Dangerous David Cox, and a huge match that's been signed. As you'll see, all three members of Parental Advisory, Bad Attitude, Tony Dabbs, Extreme Brett Michaels, and the stud Scott Porteau, taking on Pure Destruction, Brody and Cody Hawk, and their partner in the ring, no less, Hollywood Jimmy Blaylock. That's right, there's going to be a six-man tag team match in Nettleton, and the special stipulation of this match is the loser of the fall will leave OWO. So one of those six men, including Hollywood Jimmy himself, is going to be gone from OWO by the time Legends Night is over. So you want to get your tickets right now. They're going to go fast. Go to the OWO page on Facebook at facebook.com/OWO Wrestling and get your tickets for this big show before they're all gone. Also, this July, IWA Deep South Softcore Cup is coming to Lawrenceburg, Tennessee at the National Guard Armory. The Softcore Cup is going to be huge. I'm going to have a lot more details as time rolls on and we get closer. There's going to be some big names on this show, including PWG's Joey Ryan is going to be there. And, of course, all your Deep South favorites like Rateface Ronnie Jenkins, the Nacho Butcher, and, of course, $5 Wrestling Stars, Great Train, Big Donnie, all those, many, many more. And I'll have a lot more info coming up soon on that big event that's coming from IWA Deep South. And as I plug everybody else's stuff, let's go ahead and plug a few things for me real quick. Check out my YouTube page at youtube.com/CheapHeatTV. I'm adding all sorts of content on Cheap Heat TV. I've gotten away in the last few months from putting any old wrestling matches. It's mostly just been my interviews and clips from shows I've been at, but I am going to get back to putting some old Memphis stuff, old Continental stuff, random indie shows. I'm talking to a friend of mine right now about getting a hold of a lot of old footage from around Mississippi of old wrestling matches ranging from the 80s up through the 90s. And we're going to start getting that put on DVD from VHS and putting some of that up on Cheap Heat TV because I think a lot of it people will enjoy, including everybody's new favorite wrestler over there, Dangerous David Cox. You'll be able to see the early days of David Cox when he was he was still a pale white guy, but he was a skinny pale white guy, and you'll be able to see him in action in some of that footage that I'll be adding soon. And of course, as I go around to different shows, as I'm going to more and more shows here lately, and like I was just saying, I'm going to NWA Smoky Mountain, we're going to a show down in Mumford, going to all the usual shows, OWO, I'll be returning to IWF very soon. And as I do that, there'll be more and more of the interviews for Cheap Heat TV If you're listening to this and you want Cheap Heat TV to come to your show, if you want the king of all wrestling media, Gene Jackson, at your show to cover it for Wrestling News Center or to be a part of it, you can contact me at genejackson95@gmail.com, or you can contact me on Facebook at facebook.com/kingofallwrestlingmedia, or the Twitter that I hardly use, but I promise I'm going to get started here soon. I'm going to get to tweeting, and that's on Twitter at Vince Hates Us All. And, of course, follow me on Instagram at GeneJackson95. All sorts of interesting pictures posted up, ranging from pictures from wrestling matches, pictures of the comedy shows we go to see, pictures of our cats. You never know what's going to pop up there on my Instagram, but you can follow me at GeneJackson95 and check it out. Also, please go to my store at ProWrestlingTees.com. Yes, that's right. Gene Jackson has a store at ProWrestlingTees.com alongside CM Punk and Stone Cold Steve Austin and the plethora of huge wrestling stars who have stores at ProWrestlingTees.com. Gene Jackson slipped in the back door before they made it strict on how you get in, and I have a store, so to keep it open, I need people to buy shirts. So go there, get you a Vince Hates Us All t-shirt, and I'm going to put some new designs up there soon. I think I'm going to put up a Cheap Heat TV shirt. If there's anybody that would be interested in possibly buying a Cheap Heat TV shirt or a Locals to Legends Wrestling Radio shirt, let me know on Facebook, and a few people show some interest, I'll do it. I'll put it on there, and maybe somebody will buy it. So that's all for this episode. Again, I want to thank Chase Owens for being on, and this next week I will have none other than Jeremy Flint. One of my favorite guests, Jeremy Flint, will be returning, and we're going to talk to Jeremy about all sorts of stuff. We'll talk to him about that he's a part of over in Tennessee. Of course, we will talk about Rape Face Ronnie Jenkins. We'll talk about Kyle Bakula. We'll talk about the fact that somehow Jeremy is now the Brutus Beefcake of indie wrestling with all these different gimmicks. And as always with Jeremy, we'll have a few laughs, and I think everybody will enjoy it. Nothing else. At least me and Jeremy will enjoy it. So tune in for that next week. And if you enjoyed this interview, share it. Put it out there. Help everybody find it. If you didn't enjoy this interview, tell everybody it sucked and still share it and put it out there and let everybody find it and they can decide for themselves. Maybe they'll like it. But either way, whether you liked it or you didn't like it, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. We'll be right back.